Let's head out to Seattle, catch up with former NFL QB, host on ESPN Radio in Seattle. Here is Brock Heward. What's happening, Brock?
Well, it's a beautiful day, actually. You know, we've got some bright blue sky. Yesterday was a really good day in Seattle as news came about that that our city council voted on the MOU. The mayor signed off on it today. This is something that with the Oakview group that many of us in town have been really excited about, that you've got some legitimate players that know what they're doing, and in a city that is determined to make something they own, the old Key Arena site, Seattle Center site, make it viable. So a lot of folks, and I'll raise my hand up very high, a lot of folks very excited in Seattle about some of the news coming down, and hoping here sooner rather than later we get the NHL back in Seattle.
What's the higher priority, an NHL team or an NBA team?
Why NBA, though, when it was there and already didn't work? Why would it work again now?
Well, they got ripped off, well, though, right? Like, anyway, yeah, you explain that, Brock.
Well, emotionally, the NBA is what people are, you know, would want desperately. It's an NBA town, is one that was world champions in 1979. It had a lot of success through the 90s, the 2000s as well, before, yeah, David Stern and the mayor and Howard Schultz really sabotaged franchise. And I put the blame right at Howard Schultz first and foremost. I think he whined. I think he was a baby. I don't think he knew the business of basketball, and he was willing to stab the city of Seattle in the back along with the mayor. And then, you know, the commissioner did what was in the best interest of what he felt was the league at that time. And while some will certainly blame David Stern, I think most of us in this town that were close to this situation put most of the onus right on Howard Schultz and the mayor and the city that enabled that and allowed it to happen. So emotionally, that's where so much of the passion and the anger is. And in fact, you know, there's a big segment of this city and of this fan base that frankly aren't as excited as I am about the prospects of an arena being built, because the NBA, I don't think it's coming back here anytime soon. They're not in the business of expanding. When Steve Ballmer, a local guy, went to the Clippers and made, you know, that kind of investment, a $2 billion investment, and Adam Silver said, you know what, we're not looking to expand, and there's no franchise available. So first and foremost, it's to get an arena built. Secondly, it's the NHL, which I think is much more viable, and then it will be a wait-and-see mode for just when the NBA does come back.
I'm a bit surprised baseball and basketball are not looking to expansion the way the NHL is right now. NHL, you know, hockey is played way less internationally than basketball is. Maybe on par with baseball, probably pretty close, I would think. And the NHL is like, give me your money. Like, they just got $500 million to go to Vegas. If they expand to Seattle, some numbers are out there, it could be $600-700 million. And the NHL is way down the totem pole in terms of popularity and the amount of people that even pay attention to it in the States. I mean, are you surprised baseball and basketball aren't thinking, why don't we go to 32 teams and rake in some more cash?
Yeah, it's difficult for me. I've talked to people on both of those fronts, people at the management level in both the Major League Baseball and the NBA, and I think what they're going to tell you is that pie, especially in the NBA, divided 30 ways is nice. In fact, it'd be much better divided 28 ways. That they would make as far as owners goes, some more money. So, no, I get it. I understand what you're saying. I buy the premise there. And obviously the NHL is raking in those expansion fees. But I think with the TV deals put in place, in the NBA and Major League Baseball and how profitable they are to the current owners, I don't think any of them want to divvy it up 32 ways, and they'd like to keep it 30 ways as it is right now.
With former NFLer and ESPN radio host in Seattle, Brock Heward, here on Overdrive. We've been talking a lot about that game last night, Steelers-Bengals. I mean, it was a vicious game, and there were a bunch of injuries and suspensions, but the Ryan Shazier scene was the most difficult to endure. I don't know if you've ever been carted off the field, but what's that experience like if you're even on the sideline to see something like that go down?
Yeah, it's really difficult. The closest I came, guys, was actually a state all-star game my senior year of high school. And I'm a former quarterback and took the snap and, you know, different centers and everything else and fumbled the snap. And I went down to dive for it head first, and I ended up diving with what became one of my teammates at the University of Washington, and his name was Mac Tuiaea, and Mac was 6'5 and close to 300 pounds in high school, and I didn't realize it, just kind of a natural instinct to dive for the ball. and I thought I broke my neck. I felt the, you know, I've had plenty of stingers, had a few before then, but literally felt hot water pour down my entire body. I could not feel a thing. I laid on the turf there. Is I had no feeling in my body, and I remember looking at the sky like, oh my gosh, I just broke my neck. I mean, I can't. I've got searing pain throughout my entire body, and I can't move anything right now. And fortunately for me, it was just a stinger, you know, whatever, a disc or, you know, the vertebrae or whatever it was, just pinched into that spinal cord and popped right back. And I think we'll see here with Shazier, there's no new official news or anything there, but the way he went to his upper back, I am sure he was in that same searing pain. And let's hope for his sake that that all the feeling does come back and it is a spinal contusion and not a spinal cord damage.
How long did it take you before you were comfortable getting back on the field or even craving getting back on the field?
Well, fortunately, it wasn't that, you know, that long. So I think that game was in June. We was played over in Spokane, which is about a four-hour drive from Seattle. I remember staying overnight and the next day or the next week, really. I couldn't even move my head. I couldn't even turn my neck. Probably something about being 18 years old, still feeling like you're invincible and ready to, you know, ready to go to college and prove yourself as a freshman. So I didn't think of it really, you know, after that. You know, I dove for fumbled snaps after that. You know, it's just kind of an instinctive deal, just like you guys playing professionally the sport you did in hockey, and you slam into people and you just kind of get up and dust yourself off and go at it again. And I think that's just kind of the nature of the game. And certainly when I was 18 years old, did not think of many of the circumstances or what could have, should have, and may have, and almost did happen to me.
Well, if there's any kind of blessing, it was when it happened, because it happened to you when you were 18. It happened to me near the end of my career. And I had the exact same feeling where I'm like, I'm never walking again. I'm never doing anything. All I could move was my head. And I, for the last year and a half of my final years of my career, I didn't approach the game the same way. I was literally, yep. There was a little bit of something in the back of my head that said, this is not worth it for me to go in the corner and try to crush a guy or get crushed. You start thinking about different things in life.
You do, and then it's time to probably start thinking about doing talk radio, right? Like, you know, this is not the way that I'm supposed to play the game. I will say I had a few concussions, and I didn't play every game. I was a backup largely in the NFL, but I did notice even little hits in the preseason for me would ding me, and, you know, I think my last year in the preseason, well, actually I went on injured reserve before in my final season, but the year before that I took a hit, and it was just kind of a nothing hit, and I remember laying again kind of on the ground and getting up and just kind of shaking my head like, this should not happen. You know, if I took this same exact hit in high school, it would have done nothing to me. But after getting a few of the concussions and two really substantial ones professionally, you know, that started to create that feeling a whole lot more than, yeah, when I was 18 or 19 years old.
With Brock Huard, former NFL QB, radio host in ESPN Radio in Seattle. And from a fan's perspective, I never played pros. I love the NFL. I love the NHL. I love the physicality. I love rivalries. I don't need nastiness. I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to see anybody get injured. But it's a really conflicting emotion that you go through when you watch a game like the one that went down last night, because I know those two teams hate each other, and it turned out to be a very good game, very suspenseful game, and I'm going to be watching the next time they play. So I just find like games like that, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy that comes out of the mouths of a lot of fans after it, where they say, you know, the NFL is the demise is right around the corner, and I hate that kind of stuff, and I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to watch it. And they tune in the next week. It happens all the time.
I would agree with that. I would say the line for me is dirty. Like, just don't get dirty. Just don't throw punches. Come on, Gronkowski. That's dirty. That's cheap. That's when it starts to become sour to me. I thought, Juju going up to the head and launching to the head, that felt dirty. Again, I guess we're in storytelling mode. We played Nebraska when I was a redshirt sophomore in college. We were both ranked in the top five. It was the year they went on with Scott Frost to win the national title, and they had one of the saltiest, nastiest defensive lines ever in college football. Grant Wistrom, Mike Rucker, two other guys inside all played in the NFL. They were really good. And I remember getting hit early in that game, like, okay, getting hit. And then Grant Wistrom kind of hit my legs. I remember even saying something like, come on, man, don't hit my legs. And then he kind of hit my ankle again. I don't think the last one was intentional, but came right down on my ankle and just snapped my ankle. And I just remember being furious. I mean, I was just so mad. You want to hit me in the chest? You know, you want to knock me out of the game? You want to separate my shoulder, break my ribs, or tear cartilage, or do any of that stuff? That's fine. But, man, I was so mad when it went for my ankles and kind of landed, rolled on it, and I was just furious. And I think, to me, that's where the line is. You know, just don't be dirty. Don't target the head. You know, don't target the ear hole. Don't try to, you know, knock a guy out for that game and possibly his career. But, man, hit him as hard as you can in the chest. Run right through him. Be as violent as you can within the rules. And I think that's why many of us love the game of football.
Always appreciate you taking time for us. We look forward to tracking this story out of Seattle. Best of luck with all of it, and thank you for doing this, Brock.
Yeah, keep me in the loop, guys, because there's a lot of excitement out here. I think there's a lot of people that feel it's inevitable that when this arena thing, you know, breaks ground, that Iwicky's going to get it done, and if so, we're going to be talking a lot of hockey in the future.
We'll chat then, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
There he is, Brock Huard.
You gave him a will chat then.
A little will chat then. Usually I save that for the end of the show.
That's good, our stuff.
That is. I shouldn't be...
giving it away.
Yeah, pimping that out. Brock, you were joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. From now until December 23rd, when you purchase any used vehicle, you'll receive a $500 prepaid Visa upon delivery. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland. They're in on that Shohei Ohtani as well, man. Imagine you get the Japanese Babe Ruth. You're going to have an NHL team more than likely coming. Maybe an NBA team down the road. Seattle with a big win on Sunday night. They're back in the playoff picture.
What the hell are they going to do with that guy? Because he hits too, right?
And he said he wants to continue to hit. Like, he wants to pitch and hit.
So what is he, a DH some days and then pitches the other? What are they going to do with that guy?
Well, I guess he's got wheels and obviously he's got an arm. Like, some teams are suggesting he'll play right field. I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to do it in Japan. It's another thing to do it in the majors.
They played a king's ransom, or they paid a king's ransom for him, too. So,
well, he hasn't agreed to go anywhere, has he?
He hasn't yet. No, they're still continuing to talk it out. Now, there's six or seven teams that are on the list. But I also wonder, I'm curious, if they're going to lie to the guy. Be like, yeah, oh, yeah, just sign right here and there, and then you can play wherever you want. And then he signs, and it's like, no, you're starting, and you're never going to hit. Anyway. Bobby Mack in studio. I thought he was at home over the tie line.
Bonus time.
Is that Russia that got you in here? What got you in here, Bob?
I think he's had to come in and talk.
Oh, a regular work day? All right.
Wow. He punches the clock.
He does. There you go. Insider training. We'll get an update on what's up with Seattle. What's up with this Russian ban at the IOC? How it affects the hockey team and the IIHF? And spin you around the NHL. Bobby Mack in studio next. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update.
Problems on the eastbound 401 collectors approaching Warden. We've got a collision here blocking the left lane. And westbound on the 401 Express past Bayview, a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane here. Westbound on the 401 at Guelph Line if you are heading through the area. Got reports of a crash here and debris on the roadway. Heavy going back to Guelph Line. And problems we had on the westbound 403 at here, Ontario, clear to the Bullnose now. In-town problems still on the go. Southbound Birch Mount closed, approaching Shepherd for a collision and Huntingwood West of Kennedy. Succumb to a cold? Let Otrivin medicated nasal spray relieve your blocked nose in minutes when your cold hits hard. Experience better breathing this cold season with Otrivin. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Eleni Stamatathos.
It's Raptors game day.
Let me go to work here.
Hear all day Raptors Pacers coverage on TSN 1050, the voice of the Raptors.
This moment, we own it. See ya!